Hey, Brandon, what are we talking about today?
All right, welcome to another episode of The Sound of Synergy. I'm here with Eric Pongbipod, MA, Cognitive Neuroscience Extraordinaire. Did I introduce you pretty well or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, that was perfect.
Did I get it right? Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, I have you on today, man.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about reasons of why we make excuses and why we might get jealous and how that relates to fitness and health.
Yeah, I think those topics are very, I think, pertinent in today. And I know me personally, I definitely go through if not all of those things about, well, sometimes you make excuses or sometimes you get jealous or envious of other people on their posts or the people that you see on the streets. And sometimes that could affect us negatively, especially in our fitness journey. And I think you're definitely a good person to talk about that.
Sure.
With.
I mean, I'm not an expert, but I know a lot about the brain, so I can speculate why things are happening.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about making excuses, just to start off the bat.
Sure.
I think that's definitely one of the biggest enemies, so to speak, to fitness journeys, is making an excuse, whether it may be, I was just too lazy to work out, or I don't have enough time, or this burger, you know, was on sale, or, I don't have, enough money to pay for healthy foods, all of which are, I'm not saying are not substantiated. They're not true, but sometimes I feel like if used excessively or if that's something that we always fall back on, it can become an excuse and therefore become a detriment to our fitness success.
Right. I feel like sometimes we make excuses to protect ourselves. So that way when we don't meet our goal, we can go back and say, oh, it's because of that. So like I know this happens a lot when people are studying. So some people will just...
So procrastination.
Yeah, they'll just wait until the last night. And so if they do poorly on the exam, they'll just say, oh, it's because I decided to study later. So that way they have a fallout and they can rationalize it. And at the end of the day, they'll still feel relatively good about themselves.
That's true. I mean, especially like in... I mean, you probably experienced this somewhat in grad school. Although it's a lot harder to do. I mean, it's a lot easier when you're in undergrad or even in high school, right? To make the whole procrastination thing because... You can procrastinate and do well.
Sure.
But in grad school, I don't know if that particularly is true, right? It's a little harder.
Yeah, maybe a select few classes. Yeah.
And, I think something to add is not only does it save you psychologically when you make that excuse of like, oh, I didn't study, so that's why I did poorly this thing. But I think what happens is, what sucks is even if you do succeed, it bites you in the butt because we know that, let's say you do something like studying, for instance, it's a short-term memory. And so in the long run, you may forget all the stuff that you just learned, which can hurt you detrimentally. And also same thing here with, your fitness. I think if you do things for the short terms, such as, working out like so hard or do a juice cleanse for like 3 days and expect all that stuff, you may lose that weight quickly, but you're going to gain it just as quickly back.
Right.
You okay?
My throat got really dry. But yeah, I think I agree. I think we should definitely be looking at the long run because I think when we make excuses, yeah, it might feel good for the short amount of time. Like, especially, like for instance, going back to the example of studying, if we studied overnight and that was our major of choice, and we don't retain that information because we just studied for the night before, we're most likely not going to remember that after the exam. In the long run, that doesn't help us, even though maybe in the short term it might have helped us. And if it didn't, we could say, hey, I didn't really take the time to study. That's why I didn't do good.
Yeah.
And I think that applies for fitness and health. So when we're eating or exercising, if we go all out, maybe we'll just say, I don't know, maybe it's because I went all out, I couldn't maintain it. And then that's a good rationale for us for not keeping our weight off or mm-hmm. staying healthy.
Yeah, and I think what also happens too when you do go all out, let's say on a week's workout or one workout, that you can get injured. So that's a very bad part also if you go all out on one day thing, or like a juice cleanse, or like something that you can make you lose weight over a short period amount of time. Like, yeah, you may have been able to lose weight, but in the long run, how did that help you, right? It didn't help combat hypertension or high blood pressure, for those of you who don't know what hypertension is, or it didn't help you with sustainability in terms of losing fat in the long run, or other things like high cholesterol. You know, like, it doesn't stop all those things if you just do it for those 3 days. So that's why I feel like, yeah, going all out and stuff like that can hurt you.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if that person, in that same example, if that person did go all out and they injured themselves, then they could say in the future, like, oh, I didn't, like, make that goal because I injured myself.
Right.
When I think if they had thought about it a little bit more and maybe have, like, taken their time with the exercise, then they might have not gotten injured and they could have met that goal.
Mm-hmm. So have you found in your life or in your experience or in your studies of how we can combat making excuses, or that, in your words, maybe a self-defense mechanism? Because I think that's what another way of saying what these excuses are, because it, like I said, gives us a self-defense mechanism.
Right. I think if we maybe change our perspective to thinking more about the long-term goal, that should help. So I think rather than just thinking, oh, I'm going to look good for right now, but rather thinking, oh, I'm going to sustain this healthy lifestyle and this healthy figure for the long run, mm-hmm. then that would be more sustainable and more healthy.
See, so I get that, right? I mean, looking at the longevity or like the long-term effects of being healthy versus, like, let's say what looks good right now or what is going to make me good right now. But I think you know this better than anybody. Psychologically speaking, that's not very enticing, right? It's like almost boring to think about that. And I mean, I face that on a daily basis with being a healthcare professional. And I know other healthcare professionals can attest to this, that like when you speak quote unquote logically or things that make sense, like, okay, your blood pressure is going to be higher, you're going to gain weight, you're not going to live as long, you're going to have heart failure. Like, these things are logical, long-term things that you should be worried about, but it doesn't entice people.
Sure. They're not sexy.
Yeah, it's not. No, like, lack of a better term, it's not sexy.
Right.
I don't know where that stems from. I mean, do you? I mean, I think that's something to kind of acknowledge why those things are not sexy or not as gratifying, so to speak.
Sure. I think, in general, I think we tend to gravitate to things that are easier, that don't take a lot of, like, brain power to, like, process and, like,
think
about.
Oh, that makes sense biologically. I mean, of course, you want things to be easier.
Yeah, we want to use as little resources as possible.
Shortcuts. All about the shortcuts.
And I think the media has, like, been really good about selling us on this, especially in terms of health and fitness, so we can reach this goal faster. We can do all of these exercises and lose all these weights a lot quicker. And I think that's added to it.
I mean, I could speak a little bit about that, right? I mean, coming from somebody who does look at what are better ways to work out and more efficiently, there are definitely ways to expedite things, right? I mean, we've learned, especially in the recently, especially for in terms of how all of these programs promote their stuff, we know that we can expedite fat loss and muscle burning through things like high-intensity interval training or cross-training, you know? So there are things that make things a little bit easier. But I think it gets to a point when we start to really expedite it to the point where it's, like, instant, where I think it becomes unrealistic.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, we definitely live in a culture today where things are becoming faster. Like, we can order things on Amazon and get it 2 hours.
Oh, dude, okay, I gotta speak up on this. So, you know, I live with Janine, my fiance, and then her brother, or my future brother-in-law, Drew, and like, we're really big on this thing called Postmates, where it's like, you order food, and it gets delivered to you. It's, like, totally awesome, and I'm a culprit of that, when I could have just myself got out of the car and, you know, gone. So I definitely understand the whole ease of things, I should say.
Sure. Well, I think sometimes they're useful. So, like, if you can do things like that and you can afford it, they allow you free time to do other things that are maybe more important to you.
Well, that would make sense. I mean, that's why I think why trainers and, you know, things like that are a good investment to make, because you don't have to think about your workouts and all this and all of that. And you can focus your time and energy on other things that, that you deem more of a priority, or the things that you have to get done. Like, for instance, like, I mean, I don't know him personally, but from what I see on Instagram and stuff like that, like The Rock, for instance, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, that guy easily could work out on himself by himself. He's been around the block, so to speak, and been able, he's capable of making his own exercises, but he has a trainer from what I see on his Instagram and Facebook or whatever. And it does, this trainer does the thinking for him, so he can spend his time and energy doing movies, acting, you know. Man, that guy works crazily hard, which I think he's definitely someone to motivate.
Yeah. So I think that mentality is probably good to have in certain aspects. So like things like that, for like having a personal trainer or like Postmate, if they allow you to have free more time to do other things that are more important to you, I think that's good to have things instant and like be more efficient, use less of your energy to do.
Okay.
But I think in terms of health and fitness, where we know that things don't happen that fast.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I could see that. Yeah. But then if I'm going to be fair to the people, some people actually don't know. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's part of like, you know, myself and other professionals to educate that you can't get those things that fast. And it physically hurts, because I think social media and, you know, media itself does portray this whole sexy aspect of fitness, and that you can get it quick. So not only is it sexy, but you can get it in 30 days. Right. And I think that's a detriment to people's understanding of what happens physiologically, because we have these, maybe going back to what you're saying, these unrealistic expectations of how we should look and how fast we should get it.
Right.
But I think I can speak from a physiological standpoint that if you're doing it on a healthy way and you're doing it on a consistent, moderate level, it's not, I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's really hard to get that six pack and, you know, like, Chris Hemsworth, or you know, who is Thor, or Chris Evans, who's Captain America. Like, to get those kind of physique bodies in 30 days or even 60 days, you got to understand that these people work out like 2 to 3 hours a day with a nutritionist and all these people to make themselves look that way.
Right.
And, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and even those people, as quickly as they can do it, it's like 2, maybe 3 months. And this is like with constant, like, people helping them and them being steady.
Right. There's a lot of discipline and a lot of extra help. There's like an entire team.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe this is a psychological thing as well, but you shouldn't want something that comes that easily as well, right? I mean, if it comes that fast, that must mean that it's easy to lose just as quickly, or that means a lot of people can have it. And I know on a selfish reason, as us human beings, is that we kind of want things that other people don't have, or that we're quote unquote better sometimes. So if in fact it's that easy, then that means everybody would be doing it, or everybody would have the body. So I don't know. That's something to consider.
Right. And actually, you just brought up a good point that I just thought about. When you were talking about celebrities, that a lot of people think that they could attain those bodies of celebrities when they see it in magazines. Like, oh, if you follow this exercise routine in this magazine that we found out his secret exercise plan, and if you do it in 30 days, you'll look like that person. But like you were saying, that there's an entire team behind what they're doing. So if you don't have that team, like if you're doing those exercises, you might get somewhere close, but you still don't have that entire team. You don't have the personal trainers, the nutritionist. And then if you do, you might.
Yeah.
But most likely.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the whole, if we were to use your scientific idea of how we run science experiments, is that everything almost needs to be quote unquote perfect for things to run a certain way. And so that is analogous to what we're talking about with a team. Like, everything has to go right, meaning there's a nutritionist that has to be on board. The trainer has to be on board. The person actually doing the exercises has to follow it, right? Can't cheat or anything. And then you put all that together and still maybe you may not get the result that you're looking for. Because number one, genetically, we're all different, right? Mm-hmm. Not all of us are, what, 6'2 or 6'3 like Chris Hemsworth and has the genetic predisposition to do that.
Right.
Number one. But then also number two, we don't have all that team. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say or to derail you from trying to obtain those things. I just think it's – I think we need to debunk this idea of faster is better anyways.
Right, and just these unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, I mean, if I were going to do a quick lesson right now, when you exercise in terms of resistance training – 4 to 6 weeks, you're going to gain some strength increases. So that means you're going to feel a little stronger. You feel like you can lift things a little bit better. But you're probably not going to get all the crazy aesthetic changes that you're looking for, not until probably 8 to 12 weeks in. You may get it within that 4 to 6 weeks, especially like if you're overweight and stuff like that. The more out of shape or overweight you are, the faster results you'll definitely get, especially if you eliminate certain foods and you exercise on a consistent basis. So that's what we're looking at physiologically. But for you to get long-term change and create fitness in this whole lifestyle sustainability to sustain it over a long period of time, mm-hmm. you should. It's I feel like it's a detriment for you to think of things in quickness, in getting results quickly.
Right. And then going back to excuses, I think some people may use that excuse of like, oh, I didn't get that figure. This exercise must not work, or I just don't have the physique or the body whatever to achieve it. So I think we have to be careful. And I think as long as we're aware of what you were saying, that our body doesn't change until certain specific weeks as we exercise, then could have like a more realistic expectation of what would happen.
Yeah, I think having idealistic but also realistic understanding of things, I think, is what brings us synergy or brings us balance. And so once we have balance, we're able to obtain goals a little bit more appropriately, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, this brings me up to the next point about the whole jealousy part of things that I think can help derail us from our fitness journey or in terms of our success.
Sure.
I know I talked about it a little bit. Like, let's say we see someone like The Rock on Instagram, or even your friend, or just any celebrity or anybody like that on Instagram or Facebook. I think two things either happen. Either one, people get motivated by it, which is a really good thing. If you're getting motivated by those people, awesome. But then also number two, I think what happens on the other side of the spectrum, people get demotivated and or compare themselves to these people and therefore feel bad about themselves. Did you want to speak on that? I know we talked a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think it depends on like what thoughts are going on when you're thinking those things. So if those things are helping you, if you're thinking, oh, I can, if that person can do it, maybe I can do it, as long as you have more realistic expectations of what could happen, I think those would be helpful. But I think if you're comparing yourself and saying, oh, I can never achieve that, so I'm not going to try, mm-hmm. and that's when it becomes detrimental to your health. And so maybe for people who fall on that side of the spectrum, it's a good idea to maybe stay away from those posts and those magazines that are trying to sell you on those kinds of images. Yeah, and I mean, ideas.
It is hard, especially since we're like, I think, remember we talked about this a little bit before. I know, I think either before college or before grad school, where I know you didn't have like a Facebook or an Instagram, and I actually respected you for it because I think you had a good reason for it. It was like, oh, I don't really need it. Like, what's the point? But then after you went into grad school or college, yeah. I can't remember one of those things. You got one because you understood that, like, for you to kind of be within the world, you kind of needed to have that.
Sure.
So it's hard because I understand that nowadays, especially with Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it keeps us all connected. And if anything, like in grad school, like most of my posts weren't through email. It was through our Facebook group of my class. And that's how we stayed in touch. So I know it's kind of hard to not be around those things, especially if it gets you on a negative end.
That's true. But I guess maybe if you're having healthier thoughts as you're maybe like looking at these pictures. Mm-hmm. So maybe instead of comparing yourself, maybe just saying that I'm doing my best as I'm going on my fitness journey would be a healthier thought. Rather than saying, oh, look at that person has such an amazing body, I would never get it. So I think complimenting yourself on your own wins would be a healthier way to look at that.
True, man. One other concept that I think that we kind of spoke about briefly before we were on the podcast was like this whole idea of how our body responds to, let's say, these Instagram posts or whatever. And obviously this is all speculation, but I think it has, if you think about it, it does bring some light on this matter of, let's say you get somebody who looks at these photos, these The Rock or Ronda Rousey or whatever it is, and they get motivated. It's almost like their sympathetic response of fight or flight. You know, we have this, actually, you know what? You can explain this a little bit better.
So I think it's kind of what you were saying, so, or leading us into, that it's a fight or flight because we are wired to survive. And I think in order to survive, we compare ourselves so that we can be the most fit or the most attractive or the most appealing, because that's what's going to allow us to
mate or to be...
Exactly, to mate and survive to the next generation.
Right.
And so I think for some people, they can use that and it would be productive, which would be like the fight side. And then some people...
Be like competitive, right?
Exactly.
Because you want, you know, like you said, fight. We're just going to, you know, not obviously fight the real person, but it gives you like that competitiveness and all that stuff versus the other people who may fit on that other sympathetic response of not fight, but flight. And let's say they do put themselves down or compare themselves and they don't feel so motivated, so to speak. And so I think that's something to acknowledge, like maybe without our own doing that we are already ingrained just from social media, but then also from how our body just responds to things, especially since we are visually, we are visual creatures. So like we see that and automatically this response occurs.
Right.
But acknowledging that and being aware of that is one thing. Then the second thing is to try to...
Yeah. Because I think that...
To change that.
Yeah. I think that system is part of the amygdala. Mm-hmm. That's where it occurs in the brain. And I think that's a old part of our brain that we've had for a really long time.
You mean like biologically speaking before we, I guess we got into the industrial age and where we are now, right?
Yeah, like before we evolved, I guess it's still part of like the part of the brain where people call it like the reptile part of your brain.
Okay, what part of the brain is that?
The amygdala.
Okay.
It's part of the fear and flight or fight or flight response.
Right.
And I think the best way to combat that system is to kind of use the newer part of your brain, like the neocortex or the frontal lobe of your brain, where we can have like executive actions and process different parts of our brain and control our thoughts and behaviors. So I think our frontal cortex, the front of our brain, is the part where we can control those thoughts and say, well, maybe we're not really competing right now. Mm-hmm. Like this is not back when we were still hunting and gathering, you know?
Yeah, but we're not trying to live in a cave or you know, protect our family with, you know, a stick and a rock,
right?
You know, I think you bring up a really, really good point, because it's crazy, as human beings, we have these instinctual drives that definitely kept us alive back in the day, whether it was, like you're saying, the amygdala, this fear, this fight or flight aspect kind of things. And we also have like our sex drive and all this stuff, and it helped us back in the day. But now, like, you know, we're human beings, so we definitely we progress. Mm-hmm. And part of that is, like you said, having this neocortex, or neo being new, this whole frontal part of our brain, which, like you said, has a little bit more of our personality, has our higher thinking, gives us decision making.
Right.
And I think that's what we got to live by. I think it's one thing to feel a certain way, but I think we live in a day and age where we have to control those things, right? Like you can't just be angry and go into a meeting and be like, I hate everybody, right? Like, yeah, you may feel that way, but we live in a world where we have to think.
Right.
And I think that goes along this whole, in terms of fitness and having this jealousy or this comparison aspect. Like, it's okay to feel that way. I think it's good to acknowledge those things because you don't want to repress those things because that's a right. whole other psychological thing. You start to yeah. repress, then maybe you might, what is it called? You might...
Could act it out in other ways.
Yeah, you can act out in other ways. You can not portray, but...
Project.
Yeah, project to other... to other people, and that's like a whole bad thing. Of course, you want to mm-hmm. acknowledge those things, mm-hmm. but then making the
decision
to make a difference, and I think that's how we create healthier habits mentally.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Aside from the whole jealousy aspect, I know we talked a little bit about the comparison, but is there any other, I guess, ways that we can put ourselves down that has derails us from our fitness success that you've seen or that you felt aside from the jealousy or comparison or making excuses on the psychological level?
I don't know if I can think of any off the top of my head.
Yeah. Like, I mean, those are like really the three biggest things that I think I've seen and I felt like myself.
Right.
So if you were going to put all the stuff that we kind of talked about together, what would be some of your key points to help, I guess, acknowledge these things, but then also help, you know, yourself combat those things?
I think just being aware that you are doing those things. So either comparing yourself and maybe feeling a little jealous or maybe making excuses. I think being aware and accepting that you did that And you shouldn't have to kind of put yourself down and ruminate on how that's such a bad thing, but rather just know that you can fix it and change it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you can do that, then you'll have a better health physically and mentally.
Yeah, I mean, everything especially stems from the mental part. I mean, we always think that, like, if we just do it physically, it'll be there. But it's like, if you're not there mentally, if you don't make that commitment or that decision in your head first, it's not going to emanate into what happens physically. I mean, that's just it. That's just how it works physiologically, right? I mean, our brain is what controls everything. So if your brain decides not to work, then your extremities are not going to move. They're not going to grab. They're not going to walk.
Right.
It's not going to allow yourself to breathe or any of that, especially if your brain doesn't work. So it goes the same thing in other ways of if you don't decide to make a change or if you don't decide to, you know, not allow yourself to succumb to our primal, I'm going to use those words, quote unquote, primal needs, then it is what it is. So, right. I don't know. I think that'll be it for today's episode. I mean, we covered some pretty interesting topics and hopefully some food for thought for some people. I mean, by any means, we're not saying that everything that we talked about is necessarily true, but it's just some food for thought that come from both of our expertise, so to speak, and mm-hmm. hopefully you find that helpful. Any last words to everybody?
No, I think you said it perfectly.
All right, man. So again, if you have any questions or you want to reach out to Eric to talk a little bit more about today's episode, email me at the Sound of Synergy Podcast at gmail.com. And we'll get back to you. Also follow me on Instagram and Facebook, which both of their tags is the same thing, which is at the Strength of Synergy. Hopefully you'll find some cool tips, some exercises there that may help you on your fitness journey. And until then, guys, find your strength and synergy. Peace.